to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, March the 7th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And the truth is, I don't know when you'll be listening to this. My podcast host is still giving me troubles. I am trying, brothers and sisters, I am trying, and I don't know what's going on. So bless you and thanks for your patience. First Sunday of Lent. Okay, we are entering into a new space. It's not just a different season where we go to church and see a different color. It's a different frame of mind. It offers us a different opportunity to encounter God, encounter ourselves, and invite us to that space where it says, okay, if we are going to celebrate well the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord coming up here in 40-ish days, what journey, and I know that sounds such, you know, religious, counsel-y type language, what changes do I need to make? What awareness do I need to have of the habits and the thoughts and the actions that I'm taking with me right now? And do some of those need to change? Not because God will love me more, but because I'll be able to experience, open myself, walk alongside the God of the universe. Okay? This season offers us an opportunity. And that is a blessing. So with that, here's what we're going to hear today. We're going to hear the first reading out of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 4 to 10. And then we are going to hear the story that we hear the first Sunday of Lent every year. It just depends on which gospel we hear it out of. And this year, being year C, we're going to hear it out of Luke's. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It's the story of the temptation in the desert. Okay? So, with that, again, however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself, you open yourself, you ready yourself so that this word may find a home, I invite you to do that at this time as we break open God's word together. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and shall set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. God brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders. And bringing us into this country, he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have now brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil which you, O Lord, have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, my friends, if there was any thought, any image, any idea that came to you in the midst of that hearing, I invite you to sit with it. Let the Spirit of God take you where the Spirit of God needs to take you. And that may take 40 seconds, 40 minutes. That may take you Lent. But let that thought, that image, that idea, that phrasing, that vision, whatever it is, let our God speak to you and mold you through that, okay? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's powerful reading, right? So let's stay with that. In fact, I really want to focus on the gospel today, 99%. Let's set it in the context. First line tells us, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. Okay. First of all, what's he doing at the Jordan? Well, we know, right? If we were to go back to chapter 4, verse 1, and then turn the page previously, we see that there was the baptism of Jesus in the desert, right? Or at the Jordan River, excuse me. And in Luke's version, which we heard, 6 weeks ago, Jesus goes into the water, is baptized, comes out, and is spending time in prayer. And it's during prayer time that the heavens open. And the Spirit descends upon Jesus in the bodily form like a dove, it says. And Jesus hears those words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So in the midst of prayer, following this baptismal experience, this religious experience, and Jesus is pondering it, he hears the fact that he is God's beloved Son. And with that, okay, so pondering that in prayer, with that, the Spirit drives him. It says he was led by the Spirit into this desert place to be tempted by the devil. Now, let's just talk about this, okay? First of all, this is a mystery, and it's larger than me. And I don't want to come across as, let me tell you what the meaning of this is. I'll tell you what I think the meaning of it is, and you take that or leave that, and that's entirely okay. Filled with the Spirit, Jesus didn't go into this place of desert, into this place of lack, out of despair. Let's just say that. He was in a place, on a mountaintop experience, right? He just was baptized and communed with God in a way hitherto in his 30 years-ish that we have not heard about. And he knows he is the beloved one. He is beloved of God, okay? And it is in this moment that the Spirit leads him into the desert. Not despair, not hopelessness, not I'm melancholy and I've got no one else around and I'm feeling isolated and I'm just going there. It was this Holy Spirit that just reminded him who he was, beloved, and he goes into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now, this is the part that I'm like, it's a mystery. I do not believe, brothers and sisters, that God brings us those bad things in our life. That doesn't make sense to me of the God that I understand, the God that I worship, the God that I know. Now again, God is bigger than me, and I'm going to say that in humility. But I don't think the crosses that we bear are those ones that I'm like, why did God let this person leave me? Why did God bring this affliction to me? Why did God put me in this spot where I've lost my employment or I'm struggling here? I don't think that is God doing those things. But I think, as this line tells us, the Spirit drives Jesus into the desert where he'll be tempted by the devil. It is Satan's work that brings these stumbling blocks, that brings these things to us. And what we have to encounter, what we have to ask ourselves is, how do we deal with them as the beloved one in the midst of some pretty terrible circumstances, in the midst of some pretty terrible realities within our life? Okay? And Jesus, if he was truly fully human, had to answer those same questions. Brothers and sisters, again, I've said this numerous times. Forgive me for those who feel like it's a broken record, but I think our God is a God who doesn't askew. It doesn't avoid reality. And the reality is, our world is filled with trouble. Our world is filled with despair. Our world is filled with harm and hurt and anger and division and all of these realities. And we, as followers of Jesus, cannot expect to live separately and distinct from them. That it's as if we, in our baptism and in knowing that you and I are the beloved one, because brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it, you and I are the beloved one. If in our prayer we do not get that at some point in our life, and that does not take root within us at some base level, that you are beloved of God, oh, brothers and sisters, spend time in prayer until you hear that, and just be quiet. Let God tell you that, because you are. But none of that belovedness does not mean you will live apart or I will live apart from hurt and division and hunger and powerlessness and you name it. We live in the world, and what our God is showing by example is that we need to figure out, when we are in desert times, how do we realize, how do we remember we're not alone? And how do we remember our God is there with us? The Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted, not to test him. Maybe it did test him, but I think, in a sense, to realize, hey, brothers and sisters, you and I will be led there too. Remember that last line? It didn't say, oh, the devil, you know, finished and he left him. He left him for a time. Why? Because we continue to live in reality. We'll do that tomorrow. And we'll do that next week and next month and next year. And there will be hurts, and there will be hunger, and there will be loss, and there will be sadness, and there will be division then too. And how will we deal with it then as well as now? It's a constant. I don't think our God desires that for us. I don't think that's it at all. But I think our God wants to strengthen us in the midst of it. And is too much of a realist to let us think for a moment that we will be apart from that, because we won't. Okay, so let's take a look at the temptations, right? So Jesus is there for 40 days. Again, remember 40, you all know this, but 40 doesn't mean a literal 40 days. How can one, you know, be without food and water, I would think, effectively, in the desert for 40 days and live? Well, you can't do that. But he's in a place of emptiness. He's in a place of scarcity, And I think that's why they use the first reading and, partner it with this gospel, is that these are desert times. And how do we deal with that? They won't be the only time. And that's why I point to the first reading and the reading. The reason I read it is God calls us out of that space. We are not there forever, but we are there momentarily. And how do we deal with it when we are there? So Jesus was there momentarily for this 40 days, enough time to learn the lesson that it had for him. And in the midst of that time, he experienced hungers, okay? That hunger in this case may be for food. But brothers and sisters, you and I experience hunger all the time. And not just for food, right? For we have longing for to find our place in the world. We have longing for relationship. We have longing for acceptance. We have longing to be loved, to be seen, to be heard, to be known. Longing to make a difference in this world. I mean, you name it. We have that longing. We hunger for it. And Satan, the stumbling block, the devil comes up and says, listen, if you are the Son of God, if you are the daughter of God, if you are the beloved one, command these stones to turn to bread. You shouldn't be hungry. You're the beloved one. And what Jesus says is, listen, one does not live by bread alone. And in the other Gospels, he continues the scriptural passage, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. In Luke, he just says, one does not live by bread alone. That bread is wonderful, but it's not ultimately what satiates us. It is God's very presence. It is God who loves us. It is God who is in relationship. It is God who gives us meaning and purpose, right? And others. I mean, God comes to us through, the disguise of those around us, right? And the circumstances. In a sense, Satan is saying to him, listen, you're hungry. And if you are the beloved one, you shouldn't be hungry. So he's doing two things here. He's tempting Jesus to say, one, if you're hungry, if you're feeling these longings, maybe you're not the beloved one. He's instilling doubt. If you are the Son of God, Jesus just is processing this. He was just baptized. He was driven into the desert. Brothers and sisters, maybe you and I are just processing that same thing. Maybe I'm doubting that. Maybe I say, oh, that was just a religious experience, and no, that's not really real. I must have fooled myself. I'm not the beloved one. If you really knew, Joe, what I did, if God really knew what I did, I'm not the beloved one. Stop all of that. That's all Satan, okay? If you are the beloved one, of course you are the beloved one, because God created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made exactly as God desired. God loves you as you are, okay? And so don't listen to the first part of what Satan's saying here. If you are the beloved one of God, well, of course you are. And you are hungry. Put those two together, and they may seem opposite. If I really was beloved, if I really was loved by God, I wouldn't be hungry. No, you will be. That's what we're being told here, okay? The second temptation. That's the first one. Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. And the devil said to him, I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All of this will be yours if you worship me. First of all, has all this power and glory been handed over to him? Certainly the powers of the world often seem like they are unjust, and to the extent that they are, that is truthful. But not all power is of the evil one. And so I'm going to question that, but again, this is the father of lies speaking. But I do invite us to think, and I'm going to think about it. I'm giving this podcast in the United States, so if you're in a different country, I invite you to use this example in your country. But I think back and say, okay, even 20 years ago, those who were in power, how many of them are still in power? 20 years ago was 2005. I think you can virtually say the entire government has been erased and built back up with different people, different ideas, different energies, different visions, and moving in different directions. My point is, power is fleeting. And I put even power in quotation marks. But yet we give our integrity for it. We give up our very souls, in a sense. Not that we bargain our souls for it, but we give up our very grounding, who we are in our beloved status, for this power. And I'm not just talking about in governmental roles. I mean, power in whatever role. And power is, you know, in our local communities, it's in our workplaces, it's in our churches, it's in, you know, our relationships, perhaps, all this. If it becomes about power, it becomes about winning and losing. It becomes about whose voice is important and who's not. And Satan's saying, listen, all that division stuff, all that first and last, all that on top and on the bottom, hey, I've got the ability to make sure you're on top as long as you worship me. Well, that very idea that we want to be on top, that we want to be the one looked at, the one who is admired, the one who gets to make the decision, the one who is seen and heard before others are, I think is of that Satan's kingdom anyway, right? Because God's kingdom is not that way. God says, no, we need to go a place differently. Jesus chose, perhaps, to be poor. I say perhaps because there's, you know, argument of whether he was born into a poor couple of Joseph and Mary, or whether Joseph, being a carpenter, was middle class. He chose powerlessness. He chose to be, you know, someone without a home. And how do we live in that space? And all our God is saying, God is saying more always, but that we are invited into powerlessness, and that we cannot expect to be the beloved ones and in power, that sometimes those don't go together. So if you find today that your voice is not being heard and you doubt your beloved status, because I'm not seen and I'm not heard, because I don't have a voice today, that doesn't mean stay in that place. That's great. You have a voice, brothers and sisters, and you deserve and need to be heard, but that does not mean you are not beloved. Okay? You are beloved. Just find that community, find that person that does respect and listen and hear and see you. Okay? We don't have to give up our belovedness to be seen and heard and loved. And we can take that wherever we are, into whatever areas in which God has given us. All right, last one. I know I've gone long, goodness sakes. if you are the Son of God, again, he's putting that doubt in. Throw yourself from here. You know, he takes him to the parapet of the temple. If you are the Son of God, which again, we're going to doubt. Huh? Yeah, come on, really? That was just a religious experience. If you are the Beloved One, throw yourself down, because it's written in Scripture. The angels won't let you, you know, get hurt. Their hands will support you lest you dash your foot against a stone. And our God reminds us, are you in a place right now, brothers and sisters, where you are feeling, again, harmed? And you must think, oh, maybe I'm not the Beloved One, because I am experiencing hurt. I am experiencing isolation. I am experiencing whatever. You fill in the blank. And our God says, no. You are still the Beloved One. Because you live in the world, there's going to be hurt there. Now, that doesn't mean, again, brothers and sisters, I am not saying go into a dysfunctional relationship because that is godly. No, that is awful. That is not okay, that you are being harmed in whatever situation that is. But I am saying that that doesn't take away our beloved status. None of that does. We live in a world where we will be hungry, and we will feel powerless, and we will be in harm's way How do we carry the gospel within it? Last thing I'll say from the first reading, again, our God hears us in the midst of that. In the midst of that powerlessness, in the midst of that hunger, in the midst of our hurt. You are still beloved, but you will not stay there. A, you are not alone. Our God hears you. He hears the cry of the poor. That's what the first reading tells us. And two, with his strong arm, God brings us out of that space. We are not meant for life in the desert. Not fully. Allow our God to bring us out as well. Our God hears you. You are not alone. But none of that takes away your belovedness. My apologies for being so long today. I guess I had much to say. But let's bring all this to prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. The fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thanks for being with me. May your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well.